It's the JT the Brick Show, broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio.
Raiders bring a blitz. He takes up off the middle, and he's wrapped up from behind. Max Crosby!
Your silver and black home to sound off for over 25 years.
Open to the 35, racing to the 20, 10, touchdown Raiders!
And now, here's JT the Brick.
To come back into the game and win the game. I really don't think they would have been able to do that. You could think I'm crazy, but if you watched the game and you saw what happened, you would see that this wasn't a team that was ready to play, and Jim Harbaugh needed the team to get to halftime. That was a big portion of this game that no one was talking about, is the fact that they needed to get the game to halftime, the Chargers, to find a way to go in, and get the game to halftime to make adjustments. And they weren't able to do that because the Raiders did not put the dagger in the Los Angeles Chargers. And when they weren't able to do that, the game was over. The game wasn't over at the half because the Raiders were in contention with the lead and they had a whole half of football. But the missteps from the Raiders in that game, in the second half of the game, was due to the fact that they didn't put the game away in the first half. If they would have took care of business in the first half of the game, if they would have found a way to win in the first half of the game, I think they could have either held on to the lead, ran the ball more, even though they weren't running it well on short downs. They could have changed it up, tweaked it up a little bit, and they would have found a way to win the game. That's the way I see this game. So look, I'm not sitting here telling you woulda, coulda, shoulda stuff. I'm really invested in that game yesterday. And I can promise you that if the Raiders would have found a way not to throw the ball backwards instead of going forward on a fumble, if the Raiders were in a situation where the Raiders could have came out right underway to start the game off and been potent on offense, the Raiders could have put the game away and been a great situation to go win the game and go 1-0 on the year. With all of that being said, the Raiders put themselves in such a hole because they were not ready to execute with this offense that they lost the game in the second half and got dominated in the fourth quarter. So looking back at the game, the amount of mistakes they made, 3 turnovers to none for the Chargers, the inability to run the ball on 3rd and short and 4th and short, the inability to get the ball to Devontae Adams, all the things that we talked about came back to haunt the Raiders and let the Raiders go 0-1 on the season. That was a critical loss for the Raiders in a game they should have won. I can't say they're the better team now. I told you all summer long, if they lost the game to the Chargers and were 0-1, Chargers are 1-0, I'll tip my cap to Harbaugh and the Chargers, and we'll move on from there. We'll move on from there and go, and we'll try to figure out how to win in Baltimore starting on Wednesday. But how in God's name did the Raiders play that poorly on offense when Justin Herbert basically put up his hands in SoFi Stadium in the first half and said, can't do it, can't run this offense, can't move the ball, we can't run it, we can't throw it, get me to halftime now, I need to get in the room with Harbaugh, I need a halftime adjustment, I can't do it. That's literally what happened in the game. And the Raiders were handed that game to them on a platter with the ball around the 50-yard line, good field position, and they couldn't do anything with it in the first half to go up 14-3 or at a minimum 17-6 and go up by more than a score. That could have changed everything with Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh might have said, look, we want to stick to the run. We're going to wear him out in the fourth quarter, but we can't run now. We got to throw it. And no one to throw it to. Guys couldn't get open. Raiders defense was fine in the game. But what happened was when the Raiders offense was handed the ball, they had no sense of urgency. Number one, no sense of urgency. And number two, they had no confidence in what they ran. Which, man, that is really disappointing. That's what pisses me off more than anything else. I want to take you back to Costa Mesa, if I can, for a minute. On a day, and I'm all over the place, and thanks for joining us. We're brought to you by PT's. As they fuel the monologue, 5 to 7, midnight to 2. I was over at PT's, their new location that they have there, the Great American Pub off of Buffalo. Had a great time there the other day. We'll be talking about that a little bit later on. when I was in Costa Mesa one day and I knew I was going to interview Michael Mayer on the day, I called Tom Flores. You might remember the story. And I talked about Coach Flores about 12 personnel and what are you going to run when you had to run a play. And the whole basis of the conversation with Coach Flores was Dave Casper. And I've talked about this with Fred Biletnikoff. I was texting with Marcus Allen last night. Man, he was blowing up my phone. I mean, blowing up my phone. And we were going back and forth. And what really bothered me in that game was the fact when the Raiders punted, instead of going for it on fourth down, in the Chargers zone, because the Raiders did not have a play. That's the key to the show today. Something I go back to with Tom Flores, that I had a pertinent conversation with him, and he told me, you know, ghost to the post, when they needed a play and they ran it in Super Bowl 11, the wide-open touchdown to Dave Casper was the play. I said, Coach, elaborate for me. And he said, Casper wouldn't want to run it in practice. He didn't want to show anybody it. He knew he could catch the ball. He didn't want to do it. But we knew if we needed one play in the game, we would go to Casper. Not Van Egan, not Biletnikoff, not Branch. We'd go to Casper. And it was the play. And they had the play. The Raiders on fourth and one, down 16-10, with an opportunity to steal the game, because at that point in time, they were giving away the game. The Raiders decided to punt because they didn't have a play. In my opinion, they had no confidence in a play. And you can go everywhere with that. You can go to the head coach. You can go to Luke Getsy. You can go to the quarterback. Whatever you want to do. I understand why Antonio Pierce punted. I support his decisions. You notice this one I'm criticizing. If he's the coach. If he wants to punt because he wants to play defense because the defense is playing better, I'm fine with that. Not 16-10 in the fourth quarter, losing the game, and possibly not getting the ball back if the Chargers go the length of the field and score. In the Chargers building with a guy named Justin Herbert. So why didn't the Raiders have a play? That's really what this show's about today. Fourth and one, the game on the line. What's the play you want to run? I'll go first. It's a three-yard slant to Devontae Adams. Did you hear it? I'll run the play again. It's a two-yard slant to Devontae Adams. Head fake, cuts to the middle, goes down in a window, catches the ball first down. I think the Raiders win the game. Here's why. The Raiders would have picked up a first down. I'll get you exactly what the time was at that time. Then they would have handed the ball off. They would have started sensing that they were going to win the game on this final drive or close to final drive. And they would have pushed the pile a little bit better, a little bit more energy and momentum. And I think the Raiders would have found a way to win that game. They punted because they don't have a play. They don't have a play they're confident in, because if they had a play they were confident in, everybody would have looked at each other and said, run that play. We hit it all preseason. We didn't show anybody the play, right? I'm making sense here, right? We didn't show the play all year. We didn't show anybody the play, but we got the play. It might be to Michael Mayer, Brock Bowers. It might be to Jacoby, but we have the play. They punted. They punted the football. They lost the game. That's how the game was lost. And I think the game was lost in the first half when Gardner Minshew threw the ball behind the line of scrimmage. By the way, he's played his whole life, his entire life, high school, college, multiple colleges, multiple teams. He's never done that once. Not one time. Not one time did Gardner Minshew in a football game take the ball and have it slip out of his hands and throw it behind the line of scrimmage where Khalil Mack would pick it up, and that probably lost the game. Fluke. That's a fluke play. And Gardner's stats were okay. Gardner had a pretty good day when it came to stats. They weren't bad. So what's haunting me in this loss, and it's haunting me because I'm the guy on the radio, at least, that put a lot into that game. I called it my Super Bowl. It really was my Super Bowl. I think we needed that game for a lot of reasons. And we'll see how the rest of the quarter of the season plays out. But the thing that bothers me the most was punting on fourth down. I support the coach. Anybody who's listening to this show and you want to cut this up and cut up in reels, you're not going to hear me yelling at Antonio Pierce. I would never do that. I have the ultimate respect for him. I interview him every week. But you better believe that 90% of people think that the Raiders shouldn't have punted on that play. But the coaches decide what they're going to do in real time. And they made a valued decision. Now, did that lose the game? Some would say no because they were trailing 16-10 and they lost 22-10. But I believe at that point in time, that was the only chance that the Raiders had to win the game. The absolute only chance that they had was to steal the game. A game that they should have had in the first half, blew every opportunity they could have. I mean, blew every opportunity they could have to win that game in the first half. Got the ball and had an opportunity late in the game to steal the game, which means you're getting outplayed. You're going to lose this game. You're down. You're probably going to lose. Hey, I got an idea. Here's a key to the master vault of the safe. We're going to give you the key. We're going to let you steal the key. We're going to hand it to you and go win the game. And they said, no, we're going to punt. And then the punt was a pooch punt? It wasn't a punt out of bounds at the one-yard line? What was that? A.J. Cole's the best punter in the league, I think. So with all that happening there, I didn't understand the conservative play call. Why are the Raiders being conservative down 16-10? Now, early in the game, they went for it on fourth down and didn't get it. Oh, that's the reason now. Now we know why they didn't go for it in the fourth quarter. Because they could not win the line of scrimmage. Colt Miller was outplayed by Khalil Mack. Hate to break that news to you. He was completely outplayed by Khalil Mack. I can live with that. If Colt Miller gets beat by T.J. Watt or Myles Garrett or Khalil Mack, not the end of the world. Colt Miller is a great player, maybe the best player. He's definitely the best player on the offensive line. Joe Alt, at times, played Mack's really good and hard, tip his cap. Mack got a sack. Mack played well. Mack's played well, but Joe Alt played pretty good. But we didn't have a play on fourth and one with a mobile quarterback who's had 3 weeks to practice sprint rights. Didn't have a play that dragged Brock Bowers 3 yards over the middle of the field. What have I been talking about the whole offseason? What have I been talking about? Where is the fourth and one, fourth and two, third and three play that you have to have, that you have to run perfectly, which is not a tough play? It is not ghost to the post. It is not ghost to the post. We're not talking about, oh my God, Hail Mary. Hail Mary. How about a lateral? How about this crazy play, hook and ladder? Remember the hook and ladder? I'll catch it and lateral it to you. Not Marcus Allen. You start that way, spin around and break the... No! I'm just talking about third and one and fourth and two. I spent the whole bleeping summer talking about third and one and fourth and two. Have a play ready. You might not need it. You think you're going to need it against the Ravens? You might. You needed it against the Chargers, and you didn't have the play. And if you tell me you had the play, I don't believe you had the play. Don't tell me you had the play. You didn't have the play. You didn't run it. But okay, that was a decision by our head coach, and I have our head coach's back. Now, can I get upset on a Monday? Can I disagree? Of course. We can all agree to disagree. But my point was, you have got to go into the season on the road against a division rival on fourth and one and have a play that you can go, we got this. We got this. We are going to run this play, this bootleg, this sprint right, this little Devontae comeback thing. Devontae goes into the window. Remember when we had Hunter Renfrow? Little slant to Hunter. Third and Renfrow. You just had the play. You knew you had it. We don't have it after week one. And don't push back on me that we do. We don't have that play. We didn't break it out in front of 70% of our fan base that was in that game. That's what bothered me. I blew up my whole monologue. My headset works now. I apologize. We're underway. But that, to me, was really disappointing. I'm so disappointed. I'm not mad. I sound mad. I look mad on YouTube. I'm not mad. I'm really disappointed that they didn't win that game because they didn't have a play on fourth and one that they knew could work. How is that even possible? You're down 16-10. You're not down 24-10. You're down a score. You've got to run that play. If you want to line it up, you want to run a quarterback sneak and come up short, I can live with that. You wouldn't hear me here doing this. I'd be like, you ran the quarterback sneak. You tried to go off the right side of Andre James between Parham. You thought that worked on film, right, with the Chargers. You were going to run that play. I could live with it. You got stuffed. And what's with these short yardage deals where we're starting a running back 7 yards? We're going to do that again around here? We got to go this far. And we're going to start some guy 7 yards deep and tell the whole upper deck that we're running it up the middle into a pile against the Chargers? Can't do it. Just run the plays that you ran in Henderson. Someone make me the T-shirt, please. I love Luke Getsy and Antonio Pierce. They're going to figure it out. Run the plays that you run in Henderson. Okay? Run them 30 times. Keep everybody after practice. And run the play on 4th-and-1. And go win the game. Now, you could have said, well, look, JT, if they didn't get it on 4th-and-1, the game's over. Oh, really? They lost 22-10. They lost 22-10. They got gouged. They got gouged with two devastating runs. Earl Campbell had games where he didn't have a 61-yard in a 47-yard game. And Earl Campbell ran for 200 yards a lot. And he had games where he didn't have a 61-yarder and a 47-yarder, whatever it was. So the defense overall was pretty good. I think they came to play. I mean, they were great in the first half. Holy crap, the Raider defense really came to play in the first half. They kept the Chargers and Justin Herbert out of the end zone. They did. They played really well. I like the way the defense played overall. You'll hear my conversation that I had with Rich Gannon later in the week. Rich Gannon was on with Eric Allen and myself this morning. And Gannon talked about that big run that Dobbins had where Divine Diablo, they jumped in the wrong gap and it was a big run. That was a mistake. They'll clean that up in practice. They'll clean that up in practice, and I think they'll be able to fix that. I like the performance of Brock Bowers. I got the stats here of Gardner Minshew. They weren't bad. I'll get to that momentarily. He was not bad. A couple of the throws that they threw and designed to Devontae was wide open. Oh, but let me get Devontae in. Okay, give me a second to compose myself on Devontae. How do you go 3 series without getting Devontae the ball? How do you start a football game off when Devontae doesn't get the ball? I mean, you ran the first play to Jacoby for 9 yards. I'm good with that. Early in the game, they had a 2nd-and-1 and a 3rd-and-1, and they ran the ball into the pile and had a punt on 2nd-and-1. Okay. I get it. They wanted to establish the running game, be a bully up front. And right there, they knew they couldn't do it. The Chargers were just better. The Chargers' defensive line is better than the Raiders' offensive line. The Ravens' defensive line is better than the Raiders' offensive line. So figure out what you're going to do this week. And we got a couple of days to figure that out. Chris in West Oakland. I'll get to him in the monologue as I take a sip of water. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, JT. Yeah, you know, I mean, a couple of things. I'm going to take it a little different direction than the post game. You're right. This has kind of been my hesitation about Gardner Minshew in the offseason. Don't get me wrong. I'm behind him. I'm not jumping off the bandwagon yet. But you kind of said what my issue with him. His numbers were okay. They looked pretty good. He wasn't bad. But I believe to win games in the NFL, you need more out of your quarterback. Is he capable of giving it? Maybe if they open it up and give him a little bit more of a chance. As good as the numbers were yesterday, you know, they weren't bad. He couldn't overcome the mistakes. You're right, that was a fluke play in the first half. But one or two fluke plays cost you a football game in the NFL when your offense isn't dynamic enough to go out and make up for those mistakes. And again, let's talk about Luke Getsy. Again, you bring him over from Chicago. Not exactly known for his creativity. I'm not calling for Luke Getsy's job, but I've been hesitant, and it's this offense is one of the reasons why I think this team's going to have trouble with 7 or 8 games, to win more than 7 or 8 games. 4 times yesterday, they had a yard to go. 4 times they failed, and you're right, and we'll get to Coach Pierce later in his decision. Going for it on 4th down doesn't mean you have to line it up and run it into the pile, which is what they did on all 4 plays. You don't have shelling up shop. You don't have Marcus 7 yards in the backfield that you're good enough to tell him what we're going to do, and he's just going to jump over you. The Raiders aren't that good anymore. They need to spread them out. You can go on it with fourth down without trying to run it up the middle. You can spread it out. You can run a bootleg. You can run a slant. Let's see some kind of creativity. What bothers me is I saw four failures on the exact same play, and never once there was an adjustment off of that. So in order to clean that up, I want to see Luke Getsy, Gardner Minshew, and we're going to need it against Baltimore a lot more than against the Chargers. They're going to have to come up with a couple of plays, even if it's three or four plays that are thinking outside of the box, to get big chunk yardage and get some touchdowns on the board. And as far as not throwing the ball into the end zone, I only think the Raiders had one trip into the red zone all day long. So, again, the defense was pretty good, especially in the first half. But I think we're just going to have to get more out of this offense. Now, let me hit the what everybody's been talking about the most, the decision by Coach Pierce. What I said yesterday, the two things that bother me the most about this, number one, the culture thing. I've been listening to Antonio Pierce run his mouth all offseason. How tough the Raiders are going to be. It's a new day. We're going back to the old Raiders. We're going to be the bullies on the block. Well, the bully on the block doesn't put his tail between his legs when your offense hasn't been moving the ball that well. You're on the 41-yard line with under 7 minutes to go. No guarantee you're going to get there again. You got to go out and go for it. You got to show the faith in your team. Show the faith in the fan base. Hey, this is what I've been talking about all offseason, and he turned around and did exactly the opposite. The other thing I disagree with strategically, the defense was getting gassed in the second half, JT. There was a major turnaround by the Chargers. Whether the defense was on the field too much or not, that's an issue. But the Raider defense wasn't in the second half what they were in the first half. There's no guarantee you're going to get the ball back after three downs, and that's exactly what happened. The Chargers went down and scored. So at the end of the day, I'm going to sum this up kind of what I said on the post game yesterday. At the end of the day, I think the team with the better quarterback made just enough plays to win the game and played mistake-free football. And when you're going to have an offense like the Raiders have, at least early in the season, you absolutely cannot afford mistakes because you're not good enough to go out there and throw 35 points on the board and overcome them. So not off the bandwagon. Now, I'm not going to call it a devastating loss, JT, but I will say it's alarming because a lot of the things I was worried about in the offseason came to fruition yesterday. So, let's clean it up this week and go surprise the world in Baltimore. We'll talk more later about it. Thanks, my friend. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, thank you, Chris. The Chargers didn't turn the ball over. The Raiders turned it over three times. That had everything to do with the loss in the game. The fumble by Zamir White was a backbreaker. The fumble by Gardner Minshew behind the line of scrimmage, which was so fluky. You know, usually quarterback fumbles, he gets blown up. Blindside hit, ball comes out. They take it the other way. That could happen. That could happen to anybody. But what happened with Gardner in the humidity and the heat to lose the grip on the ball that way, that's something you'll never see. You've never seen it. You probably never see it again. And why did that have to happen game one? I don't know. I just thought that it was a blown opportunity. It really was. The Chargers were terrible early in that game. They were awful. Really, that's an awful executing football team in the first half, and the Raiders can't get anything going? That hurts, because they're going to be playing teams that really execute well right out of the gate, and they're going to be punched in the face, and they're going to have to come back. And the Chargers were pretty much like, hey, everybody, Raiders, just take 14 or 17 points into the half. We're not ready to play. We're not ready. We need halftime with Jim Harbaugh. We need Gatorade. We need hydration. We need a whiteboard. We need our coaches to recap what happened, and we'll be better in the second half. And the Raiders are like, no, we're good. We're good. We're not going to do anything here in the first half. We're going to let you back in the game. And then you step on our throats in the fourth quarter. Very disappointing. And I'm good with the coach. The coach is a great motivator. Look, the coach went for it. Didn't go for it on fourth down. He punted. That's going to happen again. That's going to happen with every coach around the league. That's what sports radio does. We debate that issue. But as I told you, I don't think anybody can debate me, and I'm a good debater. I'm pretty good at debating. And when I'm wrong, I don't throw up a white flag. I go back into the lab and come up with more. The fact that the Raiders didn't have a play, a go-to play, with Devontae Adams on the field and Brock Bowers drafted, that concerns me. Because we've gone through one game, we're 0-1, the season ticket holders. And in a precise moment where we needed something big to happen, we said, we're out. We're out. We're just not going to do it now. We're going to punt the ball. That bothered me a lot, and it's obviously still bothering me. Thank God I have you in this show to let it out. And we got a lot happening this week. Got great guests, big names. Mark Anderson was in the room today asking tough questions. He'll join us a little bit later on the show. Sam Munson at the top of the hour, great NFL insider. We'll go around the league with him. And when we come back, what happened around the league? Yesterday was flat out stinky, smoky garbage by the NFL. That was one of the worst opening weekends in NFL history. The amount of crap that the NFL shoved out us on television was terrible. There were some bad performances, man. And if you played poorly and won a game, you should celebrate like it's Christmas Day.
Fakes the snap, looking right, pump fakes, pressure, through the middle. Raiders got him back at midfield, and they've now got their first sack of the year. Guess who? Max Crosby, the first one through. They'll get a sack and a third down stop.
Jason Horowitz on the call, JT back. Brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka, a proud new sponsor here on the show. My go-to, a Tito's and soda. Tito's Handmade Vodka, proud partner of the show. Get your Tito's on as we continue here. So that was the first highlight of the game. So Max gets an early sack. So I remember sitting here last week saying, I think Max could come out of this game with two. Thought two sacks. T.J. Watt had an unbelievable game for Pittsburgh. Just a freakish game. And Khalil Mack had a better game than anybody else who played for the Raiders yesterday. Khalil Mack, again, was a superstar in this game. But the Raiders got off to a good start defensively because they got Max going early. And Joe Alt is a very good player, and Joe Alt plays well. So with Joe Alt playing well, and that's okay, they took him fifth overall. He's supposed to be good. He's an elite player. And he went up against Max, I think Brian Baldinger said, nine times in that game. And Matt, you know, trying to get pressures on Joe Alt will not be easy going forward. Not be easy for anybody going forward, including Max, but we know how great of a player Max is. So as we take a look, here's Minshew's connection to Adams for a first down. This was in the first quarter.
Adams and Myers both out left. They're talking to each other. Down to two on the play clock. Myers in motion. They get the snap at zero. Minshew back to throw. Over the middle. Has Devontae across midfield. Spins out of a tackle. And he's down at the Chargers 42-yard line. Inside the right numbers for a first down.
So they find him. And that what happens, and we always have to correct ourselves, everybody. I'll go first. When you find Devontae so easily, and it's so fluid, you say if you're at the bar having a Modelo, well, go back to Devontae, right? Go back to him. He's the best receiver, one of the best receivers in football the last decade. And they don't go back to him enough. I'd be pissed off, too. They don't go back to him enough when he's hot, and he's owned the Chargers. He's owned the Chargers. The first touchdown, this was beautiful by Minshew. He looked left. He had his eyes going left where the defense was looking, and he came back to Madison.
First and 10 on the Chargers 31. This is promising. Pistol for Minshew. Sends Myers in motion to the left. Takes the snap. Dumps it out to the flat. Madison at the 30. Hops over a defender. 25. Into space. 15. 10. 5. Touchdown, Madison. Oh, he hopped the defender. And he left the Chargers in their dust on a 31-yard passing touchdown. And the Raiders have a 6-3 lead.
So they go up 7-3. You hear the crowd. It sounds like a home game. Sounds like a home game. So the Raiders got everything right. They're up. They score with Madison. They have their backup running back score their first touchdown. Oh, my God, how many touchdowns are they going to score if Madison scores that easily? That was a beautiful play by him. Later on in the second quarter, Minshew to Bowers as Bowers gets going.
To Brock Bowers, Jacoby Myers, the lone wide receiver. Minshew under center. Play action to the left. Settles into the pocket. All kinds of time to throw. Wide open man is Bowers in midfield. Out across the 45 and out of bounds on the far sideline at the 42-yard line. A pickup of 25 yards. Bowers started to the right length, and he found all kinds of space on the left side of the field.
I mean, a 25-yard gain to Bowers. You only need two or three of those a game. And Bowers is single covered. He's not doubled. He's Brock Bowers. God, man, that's got to be the guy when you need a big play. That was a big one there. But the play that cost the Raiders the game was this one on Minshew. And we love Gardner. He's the quarterback of the team. This is one he wants back.
Oh, Minshew lost the
football.
That is a live football. Picked up by the Chargers, and it's lost by the Chargers. Still loose. Bouncing around. L.A. has it down the near sideline. And he's finally tackled by Colton Miller at the Raiders' 14-yard line. It was scooped up by Khalil Mack as Gardner Minshew tried to pump fake. And as he did, Link, he threw a lateral that went backwards as a fumble. And the Chargers have the game's first takeaway.
That's a score. So remember when I said in the monologue, everybody, I thought the Raiders would go up 14-3. 14-3, and I think that would have won the game. I really believe that. I'll die on that hill. And that was it. The game went the other way. Chargers only got a field goal there after that. Only a field goal. It's a 7-6 game. Another field goal gives them a 9-7 lead, and the Raiders were on a roll then, and then Zeus fumbled.
Adams and Myers both to the right. After the penalty, it's 1st and 14. Raiders on their own 45. Myers motions out to the left. Toss play that way. Zamir White following the blockers. Has the 50 and the Chargers 45. He lost the football. There's a pile for it on the Chargers 45. They say they have it. No signal yet. And now there is. It's Chargers football.
After a big penalty by Michael Mayer on a hold, which wasn't a hold. That was a bad call. Zeus puts it on the ground. And that was also just, that just killed the game. I mean, you got to hold on to the ball. And he's a young player. And it's going to be a fumble from time and time again. But that one really hurt. And then Carlson missed this field goal, which really, when it came to the score and the time left, was a big one.
A.J. Cole's going to put his right knee down at the 39. So a 49-yard attempt for Carlson. Ball will be put down on the right hash. This to give the Raiders the lead. Good snap. Solid hold. Carlson's right-legged boot is angling right, and it's no good.
No good. That can't happen. You got to make that kick in that environment. Love Daniel Carlson. He's one of the best kickers out there, but you got to make that one. Hopefully there's not a lot of misses like this this year. And then Dobbins takes advantage of this. This is when the Chargers were finding their mojo.
Palmer split out left. J.K. Dobbins, the running back, off the left hip of Herbert. Shotgun on first down. Raiders showing blitz. Here they come. The handoff to Dobbins. Touchdown. Gets through the hole. Breaks out of a tackle at the 5. Carries a defender. Touchdown, Chargers. J.K. Dobbins got away from an ankle tackle around the 7-yard line, and he was able to push himself forward across the goal line, standing up to give the Chargers a 15-7 lead on the first play of the 4th.
Yeah, they get the extra point there. They have a 16 lead, and then the Raiders get the field goal at 16-10. So 16-10 means the Raiders can come from behind and win the game. They decided to punt instead of going for it on 4th down. Dobbins and the Chargers get the ball back. Here's the dagger.
2nd down and 3. Again, 3 tight ends on the field for the Chargers. Herbert under center and the eye to Dobbins, showing patience. Breaks through at the 30, 35, 40. Dobbins off to the races. Epps giving chase at the 30. Dobbins to the 20. And Hobbs finally tracks him down at the 11-yard line. Oh, he broke one off for 64 yards. And the Chargers in the red zone.
That hurt. That was a play where it was just the players were undisciplined with their gap assignments. You make that big of a play, big of a mistake. Again, I didn't call them out because I don't call out players. I just bring up what they need to do. Divine Diablo's got to be a better player. Divine Diablo's got to do a better job. Epps took a wrong angle there. If it's just defensive line missed the gap, linebacker missed the gap, safety missed the tackle. Nightmare scenario. And then McConkey, who played with Bowers at Georgia, he comes in and makes a monster play.
Herbert's out of the gun. He moves Dobbins to his right. There's the snap. Herbert's going to throw. Eyeing across the middle. It's caught at the 5 by McConkey. Breaks away from one tackle. Still on his feet. Touchdown, Chargers.
Now that's just fatigue.
Yeah, that's fatigue. Lincoln Kennedy, Jason on the call. I won't get to the final call. That was it as we get rolling. Gangster Raider. You're up next. Made a bold prediction on the score earlier last week, and we came up short. Go ahead.
Yeah, boy, was I wrong, huh? But I was at that game, and the fans, we showed up. We always show up in L.A. And this game, to me, is squarely on AP. AP picked this coordinator. AP picked Minshew to start. And AP chose not to go for it on 4th and 1. In the 4th quarter. You played scared. I thought we was playing with the expectation to win. and playing not to lose. So I'm thoroughly disappointed. And Gardner Minshew, he played like commitment to excrement, not commitment to excellence. You know what I'm saying? But I also want to say that it seems like we can't win in, out here in L.A. You know what I'm saying? And we showed up. You see on the third downs, it sounded like a home game. You know what I'm saying? I made sure everybody was loud on them third downs. You know what I'm saying? We show up. We do what we're supposed to do. But and the defense did, too. Hats off to the defense. You know what I'm saying? It just seemed like they got wore down because of the aptitude of the offense. You know what I mean? But the reason I picked that score because I was thinking we were going to get at least 9 points off of field goals. Mm-hmm. You know, so I thought the defense was going to score. So that's 16 points right there. You know what I mean? And then I thought we would at least get two running touchdowns, one from Matisse, one from Zeus from the red zone. I thought Devontae would get a touchdown or two, Brock, and maybe Jacoby Myers. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I thought we would have the points we did. But I'm very disappointed. This offense, Getsy, the plays he would call it, like he wasn't even trying to run the ball. I thought he was going to come with the play call he did against us when we played the Bears last year. You know what I'm saying? They ran the ball down our throats. You know what I'm saying? They sparsely ran the ball in the first quarter. It's like they came out passing. Even when they did get the pass, it's like when we got Jacoby, got 9 yards on first down, we still couldn't get a first down. You know what I mean? So I'm thoroughly disappointed, and I blame it on AP. The blame for this win is squarely on AP.
All right,
I'm gone.
All right, yeah. You know, you came in and you called your shot. I said if you got it right, you could host the show with me for an hour. And you took a swing, Gangster Raider. I appreciate that. That's what I do every day. I take big swings. We got 260 people on our live stream now. That's a great number considering we started with zero. So we got Raider fans all over the globe that are jumping in, watching us live. Go to JT the Brick YT on YouTube. And on Wednesday, the breaking news for us, we're on the Raiders YouTube channel every Wednesday going forward. So the schedule's pretty wild here, Bobby. I would say all time, pretty wild. So Sunday night, I get off at 11 p.m. on the Mad Dog Show. Was in the set today at 8 o'clock with Rich Gannon, Eric Allen. We did a cool segment with Gannon. We do that every Monday. I'm probably going to play it on the radio Thursday or Friday, depending on what our week looks like. So that'll be out there. That'll be on YouTube, too. You'll be able to see it. And then a busy day on Monday. Come up for air on Tuesday. Then Wednesday, I'm off this YouTube chat on JT the Brick YT. We go to the Raiders. And the Raiders, for that two-hour run, is going to put Lincoln Kennedy on with me for 20 minutes, which is always good to have Lincoln. We're going to have an insider such as Vinny Bonsignor, Paul Gutierrez, in some type of rotation, which is going to be great. Then we're going to get Levi Edwards from the digital team and maybe a player, as I talked to Will Kiss today, potentially about getting a player. So a lot more to get to. That's Wednesday. So Wednesdays will not be phone calls because we can't do phone calls from the Raider facility, and it's a little bit more buttoned up. You know what I mean? Like buttoned up. As we're over there, it's a little bit looser. So your phone call days are Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and that's enough. Oh, and this week our alumni, Rod Woodson, one of the top 25 players to ever live, is Rod's on the broadcast for the Ravens. He's on the Ravens broadcast. Jay in Vegas on 920. What's going on, Jay?
Hey, JT, man. Thanks for taking my call, yes. Man. I heard what Gangster Raider had to say, man, and I agree with almost everything. But I'm not going to go as far as to put the blame on AP. Would I have gone for it on fourth down? Absolutely, I would have gone for it. But he didn't, and I understand why. You know, we don't ever want to say the punter is having a good game. We don't ever want to say that. But A.J. Cole was pinning the Chargers deep. And, you know, you go back to the fourth quarter and you know, just like Lincoln Kennedy said, it was they were out of gas, you know. But they were kicking Justin Herbert's ass for three quarters. And I can understand why he wouldn't go for it on fourth. To me, I put more of the blame on Tom Telesco and Luke Getsy. JT, how many times have I been calling year after year the right side of the line, JT? The right, we need a right tackle. We need a right guard. We go into the draft, we get a tight end. Now, granted, Brock Bowers might turn out to be an all-time great, but that's not helping us right now. And we saw that. It was more than evident that the offensive line, and this time on the left side too, where we're getting blown up. The whole offensive line was getting blown up, and we didn't address it. We had there were two players out there when we were picking that we could have gotten, but we didn't do that. And look at what the Chargers did getting Joe Alt. Look how much of a difference it did. He didn't. Max Crosby didn't even get a pressure on Joe Alt. They addressed their issue, and it just seems like we never address ours. I mean, we heard it from OTAs. Oh, man, the offense is struggling. We heard it in training camp. Oh, man, the offense is struggling. The defense is eating the offense for lunch. And we just don't address it. Don't address it. I just don't understand. And I thought with Tom Telesco coming in, that would be addressed. And obviously, we know we got Jackson Powers Johnson, but, you know, he's hurt, you know, and that, you know. But still, I mean, we didn't address it, but we still have a right tackle problem. And it's like nothing ever gets addressed. So it's just frustrating because, again, like I said, Justin Herbert's ass was getting kicked for 3.5 quarters. He was doing absolutely nothing. And just like you said, JT, they couldn't wait to get to halftime because and the Raiders had every opportunity to just blow this game up. Not maybe not blow it up, but at least get those 24 points. I mean, that's what AP has been asking for. We just need 24 points. And if we would have just came up with 24 points, look, JT, we would have won the game 24-22. But again, we don't address the problems, especially with the offensive line. And again, with the quarterback, we could have had a chance to get Kirk Cousins or get somebody else. You know, Minshew, because the line was blown up, was having happy feet back there. I think that fumble, that backwards pass was a product of the offensive line getting blown up. And it seems like it's just the same old Raiders. But look, JT, man, thanks for taking my call. Have a good one.
Yeah, look, it's not the same old Raiders. And, you know, it's one game. I don't think that people have to jump in and say, same old this, that. I was very critical about the fact that they didn't have a fourth down play, everything else. Give the team an opportunity. They lost a division road game, a game they should have won, a game that was a two-point game in the fourth quarter. It was very disappointing the way it wrapped up. I'm disappointed by it. But I know the Black Hole was there, and they threw a hell of a party. Go to theblackhole.com and be a part of that fan base that took over Los Angeles, and we'll have a big party in Baltimore and in Miami and New Orleans. Go to theblackhole.com, become a fan, and have a lifetime membership. Lifetime membership at theblackhole.com. Mark Anderson next hour, and we'll also hear from Coach Pierce from earlier today.
Yeah, field position, defensively, punter. We got what we wanted. We got him backed up. We got three timeouts there. Play good football, get the ball back, half court, as we call it, offense, midfield, hopefully. But they broke off a long run, and that was the end of it.
That was the end of it. Antonio Pierce did not go for it. He punted the ball. Raiders didn't get the ball back, at least relevant to try to win the game. JT is brought to you by La Casa Cigar Lounge. I'll be there this week. I got the Canelo fight coming up. Canelo. I'm going to get my Canelo on at La Casa Cigars and have Woodson Bourbon Whiskey. They carry everything that we support here. Modelo, Tito's, everything that we have. Remy Martin team up for excellence. I want to thank Mike and the great team over at La Casa Cigars. He's a season ticket holder. He is not happy today. Jorge in San Jose. Thanks for waiting. Go ahead.
Yo, what's up, JT?
What's
not happy either. Super disappointed. I just want to start off by saying I've been listening to your show for the last few years. I don't think I've ever heard Gangster Raider with that low energy ever. And so I know that it really hit him, especially knowing that he was at the game. But, I just want to give a shout out to him. But, I really do feel like there's a lot to this offense that's really, really alarming. Like Chris in West Oakland said, I feel like they're playing this prevent offense, JT, this week one game, where they were trying to just score enough points to just have their defense bail them out. And I think there was a hope, and I think there was an expectation for all of us, for fans, for the coaching staff, that the defense was going to have some type of turnover, some type of special play. I do want to give credit to our defense because – Ja'Corian Bennett made a good block. Our cornerbacks were decent. And, for all those people that are talking about Max Crosby getting blocked by Joe Alt, like, keep my boy Max's name out your mouth. Like, please. There was a lot of run blocking that had to do with this game that Max Crosby had to contribute to. And, you have to remember, we're so thin at defensive line again. We weren't expecting that. Malcolm Butler, I thought, he played a pretty serviceable game. If he continues to be consistent and we're able to get hopefully some players back, I think this defense is gonna be nasty. You know, but again, going back to the offense, JT, you know, one question that I feel like is gonna have to be answered moving forward is, how are you going to use Gardner Minshew? Are you going to keep him in the pocket? Are you going to make him scramble? Are you going to design mobile plays? Like, you need to incorporate him. He's an extra player that can get you offense. It was pathetic to see. And really, you know, at the end of the game, when we got the interception, you know, I just threw my hands up. I wasn't pissed. I was just like, you know, it felt like a gut punch, because this was clearly a game that the Raiders came in speaking about all this confidence, and on offense, it didn't show. Like, where was that sharpness with Minshew that you always see on videos and things like that? So, you know, I just want to say, hopefully we get it right. Hopefully we disrupt Lamar Jackson. Yeah. We have to get it right. Yeah, you got to disrupt Lamar Jackson early, JT. We'll talk about it on Wednesday. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. And the only way to beat Lamar Jackson is to get to halftime. It's the same thing I mentioned. You're going to hear this later in the week. Remember how the Chargers just wanted to get to halftime so they could beat the Raiders? They had to get to halftime without getting down two scores, and they did. Same philosophy for the Raiders in Baltimore. Get to halftime. Just get back in the locker room, have some orange slices, hydrate, and be down three and have a chance to come back in the second half or play with a lead. Play aggressive. I think the Raiders will try to do that. 1 hour down, one more to go. Thanks to our YouTubers for coming in today.